Hi there, you're about to enjoy a recording from Wellspring Church in North Bushy. You may have found us via our website, wellspring-church.org. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. But even better, why not come to one of our services in one of our congregations? We would love to meet you and encourage you along your journey of faith. With that in mind, do know that we are praying for you, that as you listen to this recording, you'll be inspired, encouraged, challenged, given keys to live life to the full as Jesus intended, and to bring transformation with his amazing love to the people around you. God bless you.
Okay, so the last few weeks we've been looking at this series, which is Beyond the Barriers. And so a couple of weeks ago, Dan preached on the faith barrier. And he looked at the feeding of the 5,000 and how God will go beyond. You know, if we trust him, you know, how much faith have we got to trust God to go beyond what we have in our hands? And last week, I wasn't here, but I hear it was amazing. And David's message has not made it online yet, so I wasn't able to listen. But I believe it was the barrier of death. And he preached about the story of Jesus raising Jairus' daughter from death. And this week, we're going to look at the barrier of sin. Now, the passage that we're going to look at is a very, very, very familiar passage. And I know that even people who are not Christians, people who had not come to church, have heard this story several times and they use it. You know, you hear people talk about the prodigal son, you know, when people stray from home. Oh, yeah, that child is a prodigal son. So everybody knows about this story. But I really have been praying, and as I'm preparing and just saying to God, would you give us a fresh revelation of your word? You know, every time we come into God's presence, he has a word in season for us. And when I was reading this passage, God just showed me a completely new light. And I really believe this morning that he wants to speak to us and bring a change in a different aspect of our lives. You know, whenever we come into his presence, we do not leave the same, because he brings a change. He opens our eyes to something which is going to help us walk in a practical way, you know, and it will benefit us in our walk with him as well. So if you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, and I'm going to read just verse 1, and then I'll skip to 11, because it's really important to note that the people group that Jesus was speaking to. So if we read verse 1, it says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Really important to just pause on this bit and just think, who was present when Jesus was speaking? Is this the tax collectors and sinners? And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Now let's pause. There are a few slides before we move to 11, verse 11 onwards. But I want to read from Luke 18. I think I've got that, but it's just a few slides ahead. Luke 18. And just give you a little insight of who a Pharisee and the teachers of the laws were. It says here, "To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.' I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." So now this gives us a taste of what a Pharisee, yes. High and mighty, standing in their own righteousness. And these group of Pharisees and tax collectors and sinners and teachers of the law were present when Jesus was speaking this parable of the prodigal son. Okay, so I think this background is really important. And so bearing in mind everything you know now and who was present, let's read the parable of the lost son in a completely different light now. Just listen to it in a different way. So verse 11, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death.'" Now, I'm just reading this, and then you can imagine the people in the crowd, Jesus' audience, they're listening. And you can imagine the Pharisees thinking, "Yeah, tell them. See that these sinners, you know, they go off and do their own thing. You tell them." So they're expecting a certain response from this parable, because this child has gone off and spent everything. He's been living the life. You know, the song that comes to mind is Ricky Martin, you know, "Living Vida Loca." You know, he's literally gone and led a crazy life. So the Pharisees are sitting there, and you can imagine them nodding and going, "Yeah, you tell them, God. You tell them this parable, and tell them the punishment." And if, you know, if people who are sitting there who are tax collectors and sinners, they probably just think, you know, hand in their head, thinking, "Oh, this is like not very good." But Jesus shows a whole different light of who he is. See, because it says here, he says, when he had come to his senses, he got up, he says, "How many of my..." Okay, 18. "I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father." Now, this would have surprised the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, because for them, this son should have just got what was coming for him, literally, punishment and rejection. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the oldest son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he hasn't come back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when your son, this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Praise God. See, as I mentioned, this young son just goes off and spends all the money. And I was thinking when I was reading this passage, I thought, it just sounds so simplistic. Because when he came to his father, scripture doesn't go on about any argument that they had. He just came and said, Daddy, do you know what? I want you dead. Because if you want an inheritance only comes after somebody's dead. So he comes to his father and he insults him. He says, give me my share of the inheritance. And scripture says that straight away, his father did. And I'm thinking, you know, as an African, if I'd gone to my father and said, Dad, I want my share of inheritance. Guess what? I'll probably get more slaps than anything else. But he did. And you know, the very first point here that Jesus is showing is he's redefining who God is. See, in the midst of the people who were sitting there, tax collectors, sinners, teachers of the laws and Pharisees, they had their own definition of who God would be. But he's saying, come, I want to show you a father like no other father. I want to show you a father who is high, who is majestic, with all his power and splendid and glory, still loves. He's still full of love. And the whole series we're looking at is about how you know, wide is God's love? How high? E3:18, that's the scripture that we've been following all this year. Ephesians 3:18. And every time I read that verse, you know, I think of this statement. I don't know if you've ever heard this statement. A friend sent me once, I don't know what I'd done for her. I think I must have done her a favor or helped her with something. But a text just came through and I read it and it says, oh, Rita, I love you to the moon and back. I remember my husband seeing it and went, oh. But this is a girlfriend, right? She sent me a text going, I love you to the moon and back. So I smiled and I went, I love you more. But, you know, I'm not questioning her judgment. I think she was just like short of words. She was just like, this is so great. Thank you very much for doing this. I can't even remember what I did. But, you know, this scripture reminds me when Jesus is saying he loves us to the moon and back, he really means it. Now, what my friend was saying to me, he loves me to the moon and back, maybe because I'd done her this favor and I'd done something for her, but Jesus' love is in spite of. The Bible says that whilst we were yet sinning, Christ died for us. So he's given them a picture of a father whose love is like nothing else. And this morning, I want us to begin to get the revelation of who God is as father to us. And many times our real fathers, our natural fathers, taint that. Because maybe that's all we're used to. A father who shouts, who screams, who abuses, who loves us when we do well, who, you know, doesn't love us if we don't do well. So it's conditional love. And Jesus is saying in this parable, I want to show you a picture. I want to redefine God. He's a father who loves us. You know, Philip says in John 14:8, he said to Jesus, show us the Father. Show us the Father. Why? That we will be satisfied. When we know the Father as who he is, we will be satisfied. The only thing that satisfies our soul is when we know God the Father, when we know him as Abba, as who he is. That his love, is there anything further to the moon and back? Well, yeah, that's how much he loves us. You know, and I have this quote here. It's Brennan Manning. He's an American author. He's a priest and a public speaker. He's written a few books as well. But he said this statement, this quote, which I love. He says, the deepest desire in our heart is for union with God. From the first moment of our existence, our most powerful yearning is to fulfill the original purpose of our lives. Our most powerful yearning, nothing will fill that up. It's a yearning, it's a longing. I've seen interviews of rich people who, right at the end of the interview, they're like, but I'm not happy. I'm thinking, yeah, because our deepest longing and yearning, like Philip says, we need to know the Father. Philip says to Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus is like, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In other words, I want to be satisfied. And I know that if I see the Father, because Brennan Manning goes on to say that to see him more clearly, love him more dearly, follow him more nearly, we are made for God and nothing less will really satisfy us. So if we have a longing in our hearts this morning, or all our lives we're running and chasing and longing for stuff, the simplest form of this is to know God as Father for who he is. And my prayer this morning that he will give us a revelation of who God is, not the way the world has defined him to us. And then Jesus redefines sin. See, the truth is, both sons were lost. And both of them needed saving. See, both sons wanted their father for what he had, not for who he is. And it's really clear. And sometimes it's really obvious, because you see, at the beginning of the... I read verse 1 because we know that there were sinners there. It's easy sometimes to pick out a sinner. He came to dad and says, I wish you were dead. Give me the share of my, you know, of your inheritance. That was pretty obvious. He took that and he went. That's in verse 12. And the oldest son, he was a good boy. Nobody talks about him. They talk about the prodigal son. He was a good boy, but he was lost in his goodness. And that was a revelation God was showing me. Because you see, in verse 28, it says, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out to get him. But he answered to his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. I've been doing good. I've been coming to church. I've been here early. I've been setting up. I've been everything. Just fill it in. He says, I've been doing these all these years. But what was the intention here? He says, yet you never gave me even a young goat. Now, a young goat in those times was cheap and cheerful. You never gave me a pound. You never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitute comes home, what do you go and do? You kill the fattened calf for him. Now, a fattened calf was a delicacy, very expensive. In other words, he's saying to his father, how dare you spend our money on him? And I feel that, you know, God was convicting me, because sometimes I do not vocalize these things out. But I think it. I look at situations and I'm like, it's not fair. It's not fair. I was looking at, my son was telling me a story about what was happening in his team, and some of these kids misbehaving and being rewarded for misbehavior. And he just kind of seems to do all the good things and does everything, plays by the book, and, you know, never gets rewarded. And I'm, in my heart, I was thinking, oh, that's not fair. And I realized that I was getting, you know, bitter and angry and jealous about it. It's very subtle, these things just creep up on you. And I remember God, the Spirit, just as I was praying, just reminding me, I love you and I have got incredible plans for your life. So you do not look at others and define the standards by them. You know, I have this gentleman who helps with with my garden. He used to help with the garden sometimes, and he was completely covered in eczema. From head to toe, completely, all his skin was completely, And every time he came, I used to feel sorry for him. And I said, oh, what are you doing about this? And he said, oh, I've been to see the doctor a few times and they're giving me steroids. Every time they give him steroids and it doesn't seem to be working. It just makes it worse. It flares up, all the side effects. So I knew a friend who, you know, dealt with these natural supplements. And I thought, well, you know, steroids, they're probably too harsh. Why don't you go a different angle and work on your immune system? Try and boost your immune system, see if your body can actually aid in this healing. So anyway, I got him these tablets, these supplements. And so I paid for the first month and I said, try these, you know. So he tried them and bingo. The next month, his skin was really clearing up and he started sending me pictures of before and after of his bare skin. So my husband said, what's he sending you pictures of his bare skin? You know, but he was so excited because suddenly these supplements, they're not medicines, they're supplements, were working. And I was explaining to him why it was working, because God has made us this way. I mean, he's not a Christian, but I was explaining to him, I was using this opportunity to explain how God has created us so perfectly and our body is able to deal with any condition that comes if the immune system is strong and if the immune system is well. So anyway, I explained all that to him. Oh, well, he goes to his GP and takes these tablets and says to his GP, I think I should get these on the NHS. Because these supplements are not cheap. They're natural products. They're 100% good stuff, you know. So I said to him after the 2 months, I said, look, you've got to start paying because I can't pay for you every time. Now you know it works. Start paying for yourself. And well, he didn't want to pay. And so he took it to his GP and tried to see if he can get it on the NHS. Well, you and I know it's never going to work. But he demanded. It's like, I've been working all this time and you know, I've been contributing to the NHS and so I should be able to. He demanded it. And it feels like that. You know, I'm telling you this story, just relating it to this older boy. It's like he went off with his share of the money. How dare you spend our money? No, it's Daddy God's money. It's his money. He spends it the way he desires. And Jesus, the third point is he redefines salvation. The incredible love of the Father. That is what our salvation is. He runs to the sons and kisses them. He had a plan. He was coming. He's like, this is what I'm going to tell Daddy. I've been working for these pigs. I'm really hungry. I'm really dirty. I mean, for a young Jewish male, working with pigs is like a no-no. But that's how desperate he was. He must have been smelly. But the Bible says, whilst he was a long way off, his father ran to him and he hugged him. He wasn't even ready to hear all the stories he had to tell him. He had rehearsed what he was going to say, but he's kissing him. He's hugging him. I mean, he must have been smelling really bad. But it didn't, none of that mattered at all. He was just running towards him, loving him. While he was still a long way off, he ran towards him. And his sins were just so obvious for all of us to see and to read. But notice that he also goes to the older son and pleads with him to come in. 28, the older brother became angry and he refused to go into the house. He wasn't going to go in. He said, how dare he do this? So his father went out and pleaded with him. Do you see the picture here? Nothing. It's a barrier for God. Sometimes we go through stuff, we do stuff, and we just think this is just so bad. You know, I don't even know if I can ever come to church or go before God. He's like nothing. This barrier, his love can go beyond that. His love, God's love is just high, it's deep, it's wide. Ephesians 3:18, that's the whole message of the whole year as we've been, this passage, as we've been looking deeper and deeper into every passage reflects, resonates the love of the Father. He says, I love you. We sing and we say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, God. I love you, Holy Spirit. He says, I love you more. But many times, maybe we're able to love him when he has done amazing things for us. But are we able to love him when things are not going the way we think it should be going? You know, and we need to learn to repent for sins that when the Spirit of God convicts us, when he brings it to our memories and thinking, well, you know, have we been expecting, you know, saying to God, well, you haven't done this. I've been coming to church. I've been paying my tithe and my bank account is still in the negative. Are we just expecting so much and saying, well, you know, how dare you do this for that person? God is love. And he's saying to us, stop fighting, lay down all your righteousness, lay it all down because I want to fight for you. Stop striving, stop doing it because of something. Just do it because you love me. He wants us to see, he wants us to love him for who he is, not for what he can give us. And you know, the very last verse says it all. He said to the son, everything I have is yours. Because, and that was really true, actually, because literally the younger son had spent all his money anyway. So that was a true statement he was making. He's saying, everything I have is yours. And the same thing that Daddy God is saying to us this morning. He says, everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. And I really believe that God wants us to stop envying the stuff that is happening around us, but keeping our focus on him and receiving the love that he gives us. You know, the psalmist says, Psalm 73, verse 3, it says, for I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. And the contemporary version says, because it made me jealous to see proud and evil people, to watch them prosper. But Psalm 37 says, never envy the wicked. Soon they fade away like grass and disappear. Trust in the Lord instead. Be kind and good to others. Then you would live safely here in the land and prosper, feeding in safety. I really believe God is saying this morning that we need to learn to receive his love. We don't need to strive. We don't need to stress. Let's just stand and respond to God's word. And with our eyes closed, he's calling us to that place. Perhaps we need to start by repenting. It's not a place to feel guilty, but a place to respond to God's love. First of all, quit trying. Stop trying too hard. But receiving his love, he went the whole hog. You know, he gave us a free choice. When we hear a message, we have a choice. One of the greatest gifts he gave us was free choice. But it came at a cost. It cost him everything. It cost Jesus everything. On the cross, he gave up everything, so that we can have everything. And this morning, he wants us to experience his love on a different level. He's redefining who God is. He's showing us a father like never before. He's redefining sin. He's redefining salvation. And he's running towards you. Would you receive that love? Just respond to this in our worship. In Jesus' name.
Thanks so much for listening to this recording. We hope it's encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've been aware of the voice of God and the presence of Jesus with you wherever you've been listening to this recording. Hey, if you have a testimony of what God is doing in your life and how he's speaking to you that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. Just email admin@wellspring-church.org. Do get in touch. We can't wait to hear from you. And may God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.